WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A barrage of bombs raining down on Gaza for the first time in 2 months as the fragile ceasefire appears to break.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he ordered the strikes after Hamas refused to release more hostages. Hamas says Netanyahu has decided to overturn the ceasefire deal. Negotiations have stalled with neither side able to agree on a path forward. Israel says this new offensive will continue as long as necessary and could expand beyond just airstrikes.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Federal judge continues pressing the Justice Department on whether the Trump administration violated his order concerning the deportation of Venezuelan migrants removed from the U.S. and flown to El Salvador under a 100-year-old law. The migrants were suspected gang members. The two astronauts who thought they'd be going up for a quick flight and ended up on the International Space Station for 9 months are headed back to Earth. Butch Wilmar and Sonny Williams bid farewell to the ISS this morning. They should splash down this evening. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died and, as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold. Or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a 5-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost 4 of their last 6 games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch, and then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are tracking a winter storm system that will bring rain tonight through tomorrow. The rain will change to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of accumulation by Thursday morning. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy, overall mostly cloudy, with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, 617,000 Wisconsin food insecure residents targeted by DOGE. Plus, which voting bloc will be most impacted by the trade war retaliation? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
National Agriculture Day. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday, 18th day of March, and we're celebrating National Agriculture Day. If you want to jump ahead and find out more, you can go to agday.org. This day was begun back in 1973 as kind of a time to ask the general public to pause and pay attention to everything that they depend on. That's courtesy of production agriculture. There's going to be celebrations going on in a lot of different ways all across the United States. Talk a little bit more about that as the morning unfolds. Well, weather-wise, as our day unfolds, not a lot of sun, but it's going to be a little warmer today than it was yesterday, and the winds not nearly as noticeable. Cloudy skies today, 64 are expected high, with a little bit of a breeze out of the east up to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow is when things get interesting. All kinds of precipitation moving in, so rainfall reporters get ready. Could see anywhere from a half to three quarters of an inch of rain fall during the day, probably more in the afternoon. Daytime highs tomorrow around 57, and the winds return out of the east, gusting up to 30 miles an hour. Wednesday night into Thursday morning, the precipitation continues, maybe even a thunderstorm, depending on where you are. The rain is going to turn into snow and become all snow as we roll towards Thursday morning. So like I said, definitely something we're going to want to talk about with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in just a little bit. Maybe a little bit muddy yet, but a lot of folks are anxious to get their livestock out of the barn on to pasture, and that includes our horse owners. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to visit with a veterinarian that urges a little caution when it comes to that transition. We're going to hear from her. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, jumps in live this morning as well.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
In the Wisconsin beef industry, one name that has been known because they've been active for a long time, the Quam family in the Lodi area. And I'm Bob Bosel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, visiting with Terry Quam now, who has been a leader in the Wisconsin Organization for Beef Industry, as well as nationally. And Terry, you've got a new position here that you've just taken on recently. Tell us what that is.
I just was recently elected as the Secretary Treasurer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And for those of you that don't know, the Cattlemen's Beef Board oversees the checkoff on the national side for the beef industry.
And that means you're not part of the Cattlemen's Association. They lobby, you can't lobby at all. You're in charge of just checkoff, trying to make the cattlemen more money.
Our goal is to build beef demand. We stay completely out of the political arena. Our goal is to take that dollar that you invest with us and to put it out on a national forefront. And whether we're doing research, we're doing promotion, we're doing producer communications, or whether we're doing export work, our goal is to build that demand, to get every dollar that we can for that pound of beef that you're producing, and make sure that beef is still the main protein source for all our consumers out there.
It's been successful. The checkoff has been ongoing for a long time, but recent studies show that the investment of that dollar has been a pretty good investment.
Yes, we just got done with a five-year study. Every 5 years, we do what's called the return on investment. This year, it was done by Cornell University. And for every dollar we invest in the beef world, we are getting $13.41 back. And to me, that's a testament to the hard work of the predecessors of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the Board of Directors to focus on the programs that are going to make this beef world successful. And again, whether it's research, exports, product safety, taste, what have you, it is just a very good testament that your dollar is working for you. Anybody that could invest a dollar and get $13 and something back, I'd love to do it in private business.
As the Beef Board gets together, the Cattlemen's Beef Board gets together, and you take a look at how much money you have, what kind of discussions do you have as far as which way do we go? Do we go on research? Do we go on promotion? What kind of conversations do you have there, and how do you break those dollars down?
When it comes to that, we have about $40 million that we get to invest every year, and of course, first has to come out the operating budget for the staff. And one of the things that we're most proud of on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, we run a $40 million project. Our overhead to run that program comes out at 3.89%. We are less than 4% of the total dollars that you have is in staff and program development. The rest of the money goes directly into programs to build demand and focus on what the beef industry needs. And I can tell you, it's a cooperation between the Federation of State Beef Councils and the Cattlemen's Beef Board. 10 members from each come together as the operating committee every September, and we get the budget from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. We'll get $42, $43 million worth of requests, and we'll maybe have $34, $35 million to spend. So it gets quite heated because everybody gets into a territory and a zone and has their niche in the beef industry that they want to defend. So when you got to cut $8 million out of all programs, every program brought before us in an authorization request is tremendous. They're programs that benefit our industry. How do you make those cuts? And when you bring people from all over the United States together, from every background in the beef industry together, you have differences of opinions. But the great news is, at the end of a day and a half, we come up with a budget that will make and work for the beef industry and keep us as that protein of choice.
Terry Quam with us from Lodi, a longtime cattleman with his family in Wisconsin, also is now the Cattlemen's Beef Board Secretary Treasurer. And Terry, one of the things that the dairy industry prides itself on as far as the checkoff is partnering to make those dollars go further. Is that what you do with the Cattlemen's Beef Board, whether it be, I don't know, McDonald's or Wendy's or whoever it might be? Do you have partners that make your dollars go further?
Gosh, yes, that's a critical important, because as you know today, this program got started in 1984. The dollar back then was worth a dollar. Today it's only worth about 31 cents. When you got to cut $8 million out of your program areas, you look for anybody and everything that will contribute to help you make a program. But I got to remind everybody, when it comes to advertising and those types of things, all the checkoff does is promote beef. We don't promote any special brands. We don't promote any different breeds, anything like that. Every animal that goes to market is equal in our eyes. And so we look for programs that we can do with other commodity organizations or other corporations throughout the United States to promote beef that are brand neutral and do a great job of helping to keep us as that protein of choice. And just one example of how you can leverage your dollars, we give just over $8 million to the United States Meat Export Federation. Back in 1984, you only had about $2 million worth of beef exports. Today, we are talking in the billions of dollars of beef exports. And for every dollar that we give to the United States Meat Export Federations, they can get a matching dollar from USDA. So you think about that. You took $8 million, turned it into $16 million to help promote our product over in different areas of the world.
And one of the things over the years we've seen some organizations, well, like RCAF, we'll name them, they've challenged the beef checkoff. It's gone wanting that effort. Do you expect more challenges to the checkoff coming forward, or what's happening?
In these prices of good times, everybody's in favor of everything right now because we are in really good price points on all segments of the industry. Every year, the Cattlemen's Beef Board contracts a company to do a survey of about 3,000 to 4,000 producers across the United States, and they're random producers. We don't know who they contact, anybody that has beef cattle or dairy cattle. And we're proud to say that we're at the highest percent of reception that we've ever been. We're way into the mid-70s on who thinks the checkoff is a favorable program. The other thing that's interesting to note, we added the question this year, would you be in favor of raising the beef checkoff? And we had 70% say, yes, we would. You will always have your detractors. Everybody has to have a reason to be against something. But I think when you look at the overall program and you can manage a program at under 4% of your total revenue and you can build the demand, when you look at the prices in the supermarket and the fact that we've still got consumers paying that price and demanding our product, I don't see how you can say the beef checkoff hasn't done you a good job.
Has that response gotten the attention of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the Cattlemen's Association of seriously discussing an increase to the checkoff, and if it has, in dollar increments, or what's the status?
Well, the Cattlemen's Beef Board can't do anything about that. That has to be done through the policy organizations. All we can do is state that if you give us more dollars, we'll make you more money. That's all we can tell you. Whether it be the Farm Bureau, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, U.S. Cattlemen, whoever, they're the ones that got to decide whether we need to go and get another dollar. I can tell you from being on the board of the Cattlemen's Beef Board for the last few years, we will make good investments of your dollar, but that's out of our control. The Cattlemen's Beef Board that I sit on, the one that oversees the checkoff, we have nothing to do with that. That's totally on the policy side.
But you wouldn't turn it down.
No, we would not turn it down. We'd spend it, and we would make you more money with it.
Terry, what's going on? Can you give us a little hint of what are some of the things you are working on as far as increasing the value through promotion, research, education? You know, are we going to see, you know, where's the beef?
One of the greatest programs that we just started was we partnered with the U.S. Little League, or the Little League Championship this year. And we put beef in front of all those kids there at the championship level and regional level. And getting beef as a main part of their diet and promoting with those kids. And I think you're seeing a lot more emphasis all across in the state level on the Beef Council side and on the national level, the value of educating young, getting these youth eating beef early, getting it into their diets, explaining how that protein and the zinc and iron and it's in this product will do a tremendous job of building their bodies and core strength. So I think that's one of the things that we rolled out last year that was tremendous. We've also got what's called the Northeast Beef Initiative, where several of the state beef councils plus Cattlemen's Beef Board invests in the eastern seaboard, you might say, in the New York area out there.
Where there's a lot of people.
You have a lot more people out there and very few cattle out there. So their dollars are limited. So we invest out in that area in the all realms of education, production, promotion, what have you, to get that big metropolitan area to make sure they know beef is a great product for them and to keep it in their eyes.
Terry Quam, newly elected Secretary Treasurer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, proud of making beef producers' checkoff dollars go further, more money in producers' pockets. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Osold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, it's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Minnie Timuraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Tonight into Wednesday?
Yeah, really late tonight into Wednesday, Pam. That's when a little rain starts in most locations. And then tomorrow that becomes some snow, and the winter storm watch still in effect from 4 a.m. tomorrow to 10 p.m. tomorrow from southeast parts of Minnesota, even just southeast of the Twin Cities, up into western and north central Wisconsin, including like Whitehall, Eau Claire, Rice Lake, Wausau, all the way up to Park Falls and Hayward and all the way up through Tomahawk, not quite to Shawano, but up through Antigone, of course, off into the northeast. That's the area where heavier snow is going to be expected. A weak front's pushing to our southeast today, not bringing any precipitation really to talk about. Some very scattered and light snow in northwest Wisconsin, flurries, some activity out in west central Minnesota. The expectation will be more cloudy skies, but most precipitation holds off till the night, and almost anywhere it may just be a little rainfall. That's late tonight into the early morning hours of Wednesday, but then showers and thunderstorms south, snow further north, snow accumulations in that area I talked about, just north of La Crosse, off into north central Wisconsin. There could be some near 3 to 6 inch amounts of snow with stronger winds as well. In fact, there's a blizzard warning in south central Minnesota, north central Iowa, because of that being an open space and strong winds we expect tomorrow. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
All right, buddy, let's get some detail on this forecast. Like you said, starting as soon as tonight, huh?
Yep, late tonight. Today still sounds pretty nice. Mostly cloudy, could be partly sunny here or there. temperatures pretty nice, even pushing toward the low 50s up north, close to 60 in the south. Winds will become east today, about 5 to 15. Overnight, more clouds, some rain developing late, maybe snowflakes in the north, and temps still not too bad in the low 30s north, close to 40 up in the south. Northeast winds about 5 to 10. Tomorrow, clouds, rain, even a thunderstorm in the south. Rain mixing with snow further north later in the day. Anywhere from mid-40s north to mid-50s south. East winds 10 to 20 and gusty. And then overnight, that rain and thunderstorm activity still in southern Wisconsin. Snow further north. A little sunshine tries to break out later Thursday. Upper 30s and low 40s, the best we'll do. Rain in the south, Pam, could be up in that half to one-inch range, and some pretty heavy snow up through central Wisconsin. So a lot to watch for.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Stu. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. So rainfall reporters, get your gear ready. I guess snowfall reporters, you might as well get ready as well. It's coming.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wiss.fm/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A barrage of bombs raining down on Gaza for the first time in 2 months as the fragile ceasefire appears to break.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he ordered the strikes after Hamas refused to release more hostages. Hamas says Netanyahu has decided to overturn the ceasefire deal. Negotiations have stalled with neither side able to agree on a path forward. Israel says this new offensive will continue as long as necessary and could expand beyond just airstrikes.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Federal judge continues pressing the Justice Department on whether the Trump administration violated his order concerning the deportation of Venezuelan migrants removed from the U.S. and flown to El Salvador under a 100-year-old law. The migrants were suspected gang members. The two astronauts who thought they'd be going up for a quick flight and ended up on the International Space Station for 9 months are headed back to Earth. Butch Wilmar and Sonny Williams bid farewell to the ISS this morning. They should splash down this evening. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch, and then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Tuesday's show, I'll be joined by Vanessa Moran from Feed My Starving Children. She'll fill in while the mayor is on vacation. Plus, we'll welcome Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms and Beth Kowalski from the Neville Public Museum. Join us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a winter storm system that will bring rain tonight through tomorrow. The rain will change to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of accumulation by Thursday morning. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy, overall mostly cloudy, with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
This National Ag Week, we salute the men and women of agriculture. Quality Roasting would like to thank everyone involved in farming for their hard work and dedication helping to feed America. With flexible feeding options, Quality Roasting is here to help you explore how high oleic soybeans can fit into your farm strategy and make an impact. Quality Roasting, a local soybean processor since 1991. Call today, 920-775-9279, to sell your soybeans.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillman Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We appreciate the groundbreaking efforts of Janine Geske, She dedicated her career to transforming the criminal justice landscape. Geske taught in prison and collaborated with victims groups. She continued to champion for change as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court during the 1990s. And in recognition of her impact, she was named the Milwaukee Bar's Lawyer of the Year twice. She also made history in 2002 as the first and still the only woman to serve as Milwaukee County Executive, an interim role worked without pay. Geske's now a professor of law at Marquette University's Restorative Justice Initiative, which she founded in 2005. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Jane Matnair.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
In the year.
You know, we've been focused in a lot lately on tariffs and its potential impact on Wisconsin agriculture. I'll tell you what, it's not always tariffs that are doing the damage. We found out over the weekend that the meat processors that are allowed to ship product into China, both beef and pork, had not been recertified. Now, at first blush, you say, that's not such a big deal, but it really is. Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says pork producers got a little resolution over the weekend, but beef producers have still not found that resolution. I'll bring you the details on that as we roll our way through a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this National Agriculture Day. National Agriculture Day started on this day back in 1973. The Agriculture Council of America is the organization that's made up of leaders in agriculture, food, and fiber. And it's all about increasing the public awareness of agriculture's vital role in our society. They want you to understand how food and fiber products are produced. They want you to appreciate the role agriculture plays in providing safe, abundant, and affordable products. They want you to value the essential role of agriculture in maintaining a strong economy and acknowledge and consider career opportunities in the agriculture, food, and fiber industry. You can see more at agday.org. There's a lot of different ways that groups, organizations, associations are celebrating today. And like I said, find more at agday.org. Let's see, what else can I tell you about this day? March 18th, 1953, the Braves move to Milwaukee. Yep, the Braves baseball team announced that they were moving from Boston to Milwaukee on this day, 1953. We've got some happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actress, songstress Vanessa Williams. She actually got her fame back in 1983 when she was the first person of African-American descent to win the Miss America contest. Problem was, she had to give up the title after a scandal with Penthouse magazine. Penthouse published unauthorized nude photographs of her, forced her to give up the title of Miss America. Again, Vanessa Williams, 62 years young today. Also, happy birthday today to Queen Latifah. She is 55, and now you know. Well, we want you to know it's still a little muddy around a lot of Wisconsin, but there's plenty of folks that have livestock in barns anxious to try to get them out on pasture. But you have to be careful how quickly you move those animals out onto pasture, not just because of field conditions, but more. Stephanie Hoff dug a little deeper on that.
Springtime is busy for the equine veterinarians on staff at Iron Gate Clinic in Madison. Howard Kettover is one of them. He serves farms, hobbyists, and boarding facilities across Dane County and beyond. He says he puts a lot of miles on in the spring because horses and their owners are in a key transition period. It's that time of year to move from a less active winter season to a more physical summer routine. Dr. Kedover gives horse owners some critical advice on how to best care for your animal this spring.
There's a lot of things that we start looking at in the springtime for not only the horses changing, such as just shedding, losing their winter hair coat and losing all that hair and getting into a cooler hair coat to go through the summer is one of the things that they're going to go through. But then also, what are we doing? As you said, sort of pacing and getting back to performance or riding more and things. And just like ourselves, you know, we don't want to run out and go from 0 to 90. We'd try not to do that with our equines as well. You know, going ahead and working them back into condition, spending that time with them will certainly pay dividends in the long run through the summer, the fall, and over their total career, and trying to just get them a little more fit before we start asking more of them.
I suppose that's true from a nutrition standpoint as well.
It is. It's one of those things that we often talk about horses, and a lot of times we say, well, I've got to feed the horse. In reality, most of the time, we're actually feeding the microbes inside the horse's GI tract that are then going to be able to digest the grasses, the hays, and those other products. And we know that those microbe populations change throughout the year depending on what they're being fed. And during the wintertime, when they're on hays, stored hay in this area, the microbes tend to be more productive and more efficient, and they make a lot more volatile fatty acid or energy for the horse to then digest and utilize. And if we take that same microbe population and put it out on fresh grass, they're still going to be very efficient, and they will overproduce those volatile fatty acids or the byproducts of that, and the horse's system can't quite handle that as efficiently. So if we slowly acclimate those horses out to the green grasses and the summer grazing, it allows that microbe population to shift based on pH of the grasses and what they're taking in to become less efficient. And if they're less efficient, it's easier on the horse's GI tract, and then also subsequently some of those other conditions that can be affected, such as inflammation down in the feet or laminitis.
When is the right time to start this transition process? Because, you know, we've had some record warm days already in the first half of March, and it's getting people excited.
As we look at that, there is no right answer as far as when to get the horses out. I think it's something talking with your veterinarian and talking and looking at your situation allows you to sort of figure out what's going to work best. A lot of the times, it's going to depend on what you have for facilities. What do you have for pasture? What do you have for access to more fresh forage or that green grass? In a perfect world, they could be out on grass as the grass is coming in. So that microbe population, as the grasses start changing and coming in, the microbes start changing and change with it, and it allows to happen naturally and slowly. Most of us don't have pasture that can hold up to that kind of abuse through the spring, mud season, and everything else. They're going to tear that up and oftentimes destroy some of those pastures. So for people management, allowing us to manage our horses better, oftentimes we will go ahead and keep them off of those grasses until the grass is rich and established, and then slowly acclimate them over. And it, again, depends on the situation and what you have for management, but it's not uncommon to take 2, 3, 4 weeks to get them out from no access to full access. And some people are able to do it quicker, some are able to do it a little slower. But in the natural world, ideally, we'd have them out on grass as the grass is coming in, and they do it themselves. The microbes adapt themselves and the horses adapt. Just not often common here. Practical.
Howard Kedover is a veterinarian with Iron Gate Clinic serving Dane County. He's got some great reminders for horse owners as they get their animals ready for the warmer weather. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Don't forget, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us in just a moment. If you've got a question about the markets, a specific commodity, or why something's happening, go ahead, share it with me on the Talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276, and we'll share it with John in just a moment. I don't know if you realize that everybody's so caught up talking about tariffs and their potential impact on production agriculture, but there's non-tariff tools that can be just as damaging to production agriculture. Over the weekend, the Phase 1 trade agreement of 2020 expired. Now you say, okay, what does that mean, Pam? Well, basically that put in place a registration process for our meat processors in the United States to export directly to China. When that phase one agreement expired, there was concerns over market access because China's General Administration of Customs had not updated the facilities and cold storage locations that would be certified to send beef and pork into China. That's a big deal, according to Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
I think this whole exercise the last few weeks is a bit of a wake-up call because there's been a lot of focus in the press for months now about tariffs. And while that is a concern, there's quite a few examples where non-tariff trade barriers can be just as, if not more, impactful.
Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Now, he said the good news is over the weekend, 360 pork facilities and cold storage units were granted their updated permits by China's General Administration of Customs. But right now, 390 beef facilities in the United States have not gotten any update or any word on their status of being recertified. So that's a big deal. We're going to maybe bring that up with John Heinberg in just a little bit. Markets and overnight electronic trade on this National Agriculture Day are holding fairly firm. Again, Dow Jones Industrial Average right now a little lower. December corn's down a half a cent at 454. November soybeans are up 2 right now at 1020. July wheat's up 3 at 588. Yesterday, as far as dairy was concerned, we saw the barrel cheese drop 6.5 cents to 162.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 4.25 at 165. Double A butter down 4, 230.5 per pound. April class 3 milk that goes into cheese up a penny at 1717 a hundredweight. John Heinberg's next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know-Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read, all men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics." They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Or their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. Good morning, John. You and I were talking yesterday about a weather phenomena that many people might have noticed Saturday morning across Wisconsin. The skies were kind of dusty, cloudy, overcast. I took a deep breath. I said to my husband, it smells like dirt. It was, and that's kind of one of the items that's influencing our wheat market, correct?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we had that strong storm come across the U.S. over the weekend, and we had some very aggressive winds going through some of those southern plains and causing dust storms down there, picking up some of that dust, getting into the upper atmosphere, and again, it carried all the way up here into the northern part of the United States. I was up in Green Bay looking out a window at the Rush Center for the Girls State Basketball Tournament, and you could just see the red haze in the sky, and it was just in a unique situation. As dryness concerns continue to really be a major focus of the marketplace down in that hard red winter wheat belt, you know, the Kansas wheat belt area, as this crop is starting to work itself out of dormancy, is the moisture there. They didn't pick up much moisture from that storm, as most of the energy in terms of precipitation was to the east of that area. So that's a spot we're watching very, very closely. We saw a big jump in wheat prices yesterday, led by that hard red winter wheat group. So it's something we'll have to watch. On top of that, on the global side, we don't have a lot of wheat out there in terms of available wheat for importers to use. We're watching that Russian crop as well as the European crop. Dryness concerns are building there. So there could be a bit of a story here where wheat could kind of lead this market higher for a while. So we'll have to kind of watch that. It was a little disappointing watching the other grains really not rally with wheat yesterday, but it was good to see some money flow, at least in the wheat market for those wheat producers.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us on the Midwest Farm Report. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about another story I just brought to them, John, and that's about meat processors in the United States waiting on China for recertification to allow product to move into China. This is not relative to tariffs, but it is another tool that China may be using against our protein complex. Tell me what else you're seeing out there.
Yeah, you know, going into that story a little bit, there's nearly 1,000 plants, beef, pork, and poultry that were part of the Phase 1 deal, got their certification back with the trade deal during the first Trump administration. Now, those were going to expire, and China's been a little reluctant in terms of reopening up those certifications. Again, maybe it's just, to me, it was just political posturing in terms of tariffs, things of that nature going on. Again, still seeing product move, even though the certification may not be there in that regard. It really didn't move the market a whole lot in terms of when the news came out on Friday, you know, and things of that nature. Now some of these plants are getting back to their certification back online. Now we did see another strong day in the cattle market yesterday. We've got a market here that's a very unique market overall. We got a strong cash market again. We're hearing chatter of, you know, low $2 to $100 bids last week getting filled. You know, so again, the demand side continues to stay strong as those carcass values continue to stay high. So there is at least a little meat on the bone for the packer to put those bids out there. One thing we do need to watch, though, we did have a small plant. Now, it was mostly a cull cow plant in South Dakota. Closed its doors yesterday because financially it just isn't going to work in the longer run for some of these packers with these types of cash values versus, even though the retail boxes are high that they get paid back on, it's just the profit margins aren't there. And that might be something that this industry could see as some consolidation in the packing industry. That could be one of those signals that maybe prices have been too high too long here in the cattle market and could signal a bit of a top.
Do we see that in any other protein complex? Our pork processors, our poultry, are their margins healthier than beef?
The pork side of it has still been fairly good. Again, we're seeing carcass values up around that $100 carcass area, and of which then, you know, the packer breaks that down into different cuts, and that's what gets to the grocery store. So there's some decent value there. The hog market hasn't been pushing out to historic highs. So we're not really hearing that in the other industries so much because the cattle industry is, you know, one of those industries still has a lot of regional packers or small packers that just cover an area as compared to where the pork industry has maybe gotten to the more national scale you know, with companies like Tyson as well as Smithfield Foods, things of that nature. So unfortunately, it could be a way this industry, in terms of the cattle industry, restructures itself, maybe to move to more of a, you know, linear program like the pork industry or the poultry industry is, because again, just some of those smaller regional packers are some of the, allow some of the difference and some of the competition for price that's out there.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here on the Midwest Farm Report. I've got about a minute left, John. What else are you keeping an eye on as we roll into a Tuesday session?
Well, we got a couple of weeks here now in the corn and soybean market. It's going to be really starting to think about the prospective plantings report and the grain stocks report here at the end of the month. So that's going to be probably the focus, I would think, going forward here. You know, where are we going to get those corn acres? How many acres are we going to get? The market's pretty content that we're going to plant a large amount of corn acres next year compared to where we were last year. So that's something that may keep a little bit of a lid on prices here. And this market's just looking for some possible clarity in that report can set us up for the next handful of months as we get into spring planning.
All right, my friend, save your voice. We will catch up with you next week. Thanks, John. John Heinberg joining us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. He is one of the team members, TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website, or call him 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. You know, John, talking about what's going on with the beef industry tomorrow, we are going to be talking with folks from the beef industry, the Wisconsin Beef Council, going to catch us up on what they're doing with some new nutrition information related to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Hope you'll join us for that conversation.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
Some personal reflections on the farming life today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. On this National Ag Day, a look back on my own personal association with agriculture. I was born into a farming family. My great-grandfather farmed in Norway before moving to the U.S. in 1890. I don't know how many generations of the family were farmers before that. In the 1940s, my grandfather started raising a few turkeys on our Minnesota farm. After my dad finished the eighth grade, he went to work full-time on the farm. The turkeys grew to become the main enterprise. When I was little, we had probably 300 acres of cropland, the turkeys, a few hogs, and some Hereford beef. I did chores as soon as I was old enough. There was plenty of work to go around. I graduated from high school in 1975. Yep, 50 years ago, and went off to college that fall. Still did farm work on weekends and summers for a couple of years, then got married, and my hands-on farming work was over. After college, I worked in local radio stations before starting a syndicated farm radio show in 1996. That was how I circled back to the agriculture arena. And I look forward to marking 30 years of farm broadcasting at the end of 2025. Thanks for joining me on the ride. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says 413 people were killed in Israeli airstrikes overnight. The bombing began after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered the strikes after Hamas refused Israeli demands to change the terms of the ceasefire, retired General Doug Lute.
It is a vivid reminder of just how delicate these ceasefires are. And not only the ceasefire here, but the ceasefire that might be in the works, for example, in Ukraine.
Ukraine agreeing to a 30-day ceasefire, something President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are expected to discuss when they speak by phone later this morning. A federal judge ordering the Justice Department to submit a sworn declaration describing what happened when a plane load of Venezuelan migrants was sent to El Salvador, even though the judge had ordered the Trump administration not to do it. The Federal Reserve kicking off its two-day meeting, interest rates expected to remain steady. This is ABC News. Cleanup continues across much of the eastern half of the